When you hear the fanfare, that means it's time to go off to the movies with Matt Olien. Matt, this film that you have just seen, one of the films nominated for an international feature Oscar, The Quiet Girl.
The Quiet Girl. So it's in the native language of Irish. So it's in the Irish language, not English, which is why it qualified for international feature film. It did not win. All Quiet on the Western Front got the award, but I loved this movie. It is, you know, sometimes the smallest stories are the most emotional. And I think that's what I can say about this movie. It is about a girl in 1981. She's kind of the middle child of a lot of kids, and her parents, it's a dysfunctional family. Her dad is not the best person in the world, and lo and behold, another child is on its way. And so 9-year-old Kate is sent for the summer to live with distant relatives, distant cousins, played by Cary Crowley and Andrew Bennett in wonderful performances. And Catherine Clinch plays the young girl, Kate, and she's just quiet. She kind of just moves through the family, minds her business, doesn't say a lot. Her father makes jokes about her being quiet, and you just feel for this little girl. And of course, when she goes off for the summer, she kind of finds out what a loving married couple really is with these second cousins. And that's what the film is about, is her spending this summer with them, kind of coming out of her shell and maybe wanting to never go back
to the
dysfunction that she has to return to. And it's a wonderful film. It's quiet. The director, Colm Byreid, did a great job with this. Sometimes the language slips into English and you can understand what they're saying, but mostly it's in the Irish language, and so it is subtitled. But Catherine Clinch is so good as the little girl. I mean, the director, Colm Byreid, got a great performance out of her. And I like these kind of films where a child kind of comes out of their shell, a child kind of learns what it means to be in a loving family. And, you know, we see this all the time in real life, too, kids raised in dysfunction and how they come out of this. And I love the film. The cinematography is great. If you aren't emotional in the last 10 minutes of this movie, we might need to check your pulse, because it is really one of the best endings of the year, I would say, too. Okay. I'm not going to give anything away. People need to see this. It's streaming right now.
Netflix?
I don't think it's Netflix. Okay. No, I'd have to check my streaming. But if you just Google The Quiet Girl, you're going to find out where it's streaming. So I had a screener of this because I vote in the North Dakota Film Society. Finally got to see it. And the cinematography is great. You know, you get that sense of Ireland, the greens of Ireland and the quiet and everything. But it's really – there's a dark secret in the movie too, which, you know, again, we're not going to reveal that. But there is a dark secret that is kind of revealed eventually in the movie that's very pivotal for this movie, and pivotal in the relationship of the cousins, the married cousins to their little cousin Kate, which becomes – just a wonderful relationship movie between the two parents and their little cousin Kate. And love this movie. One of my top 5 or 6 of the year, for sure.
Wow. Yep. It sounds like it's very much an exploration of, you know, there's the family that you're born into, and then there's the family that you can create and love on your own. And those are not necessarily the same thing.
Yes, and they really handle it well, too. When, you know, she knows the younger sibling is coming and she's completely unexcited about this. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm not here to make judgments about things like this, but she's already viewed almost invisible within the family. And here comes another baby. You know, so now what's going to happen now? She just becomes more invisible. And why would you be excited about something like that coming into your world if you're a 9 or 10 year old child that's completely ignored? But she experiences love from the Cary Crowley, Andrew Bennett characters. Maybe for the first time, she's the center of attention, helping with farm chores. And she really bonds with the father. The expressions on Catherine Clinch's little face are just wonderful. You just wonder, what is she thinking? What is her world like? What is her world going to be like? This is based on a wonderful novella called Foster by Claire Keegan, which a couple of my friends who are really into Irish culture have read. So it's a nice little movie.
It sounds like a little bit of a commentary, too, on just the size of families
I wasn't going to say that, but there's no question about it that there,
Yeah, you didn't have very much say in how big your own family got to be.
When you watch her navigate herself through this family, that's what you think. You think, why are they having another child?
Yeah.
That's what that's what you think, and that's I'm sure what little Kate is thinking without saying it.
And our ace producer Skip looked it up. It is streaming on Vudu.
Thank you, Skip. I'm not familiar with that one.
So there you go. All right. Well, we both watched the Oscars. Mm-hmm. I watched, half the Oscars, and it was still a lot of Oscars. But let's talk about some diversity and stuff that happened this year. Best song going to
India.
A film in the Telugu language, and Asian American, a woman winning Best Lead Actress for the first time, mm-hmm. an Asian man winning Best Supporting Actor for, I believe, the second time.
Yeah, Hang Noor back in 1984 for The Killing Fields. Right?
Yeah. So a little bit more on this diversity front, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think it was spread around very well. And I think that Kay Hui Kwan was very deserving as supporting actor. I would have voted for Cate Blanchett for Best Actress. I was hoping for a tie with her and Michelle Yeoh. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was a close vote. But Michelle Yeoh was wonderful in the movie. I liked Everything Everywhere All at Once. Didn't love it. It's not my favorite film of the year. The funny thing about this, Ashley, is I have friends that just have not been able to finish this movie. They just can't stand it.
I
have other friends that love it. So once again, we come out of the Oscars with a polarizing movie that some people hate and some people love, and that's what this movie is. It's wonderfully edited. It got 7 Oscars. It is now the 3rd film in Oscar history to win 3 of the 4 acting categories, because Jamie Lee Curtis was the other. I accurately predicted she would win. That was one of my correct predictions. But Network in 1976 and A Streetcar Named Desire in 1951 also got 3 acting Oscars. So Jamie Lee Curtis, when I saw Everything Everywhere, I thought she would have a good chance to win supporting actress. She's unrecognizable. If you don't know that's her going into the movie, it's tough to tell. Best actor, I have to believe that was a close vote. I got that wrong. I thought Austin Butler would pull it off, but clearly the Brendan Fraser momentum from the SAG and people's feeling about The Whale. Again, another film, very controversial. I have friends that refuse to watch that movie because they believe it's a fatsploitation movie. And I would just encourage people, as I always do, go see
watch
the movie before
decide.
You throw it under the bus. Otherwise, I can't have a discussion with you. And that's always what I say. But I thought Butler would win, but Fraser got it. So I missed on actor, and actress got the other 4 correct. Clearly, Tar, The Fablemans, Banshees of Inisherin all come off empty-handed
with right?
0.
Yeah.
And that does happen. The chances they really had, they did not win. So All Quiet on the Western Front got 4 Oscars. The Whale got 2. And actually, my hint that Fraser was going to win is when The Whale beat Elvis for makeup.
Mm.
So the best makeup for those actors maybe equals who they think. I would have voted for Butler. I would have. He really embodies Elvis. But makeup equaled best actor in this situation.
What'd you make of the speeches?
Oh, they were wonderful for the most part. Yeah, I thought they were great speeches. Everybody's happy for Brendan Fraser. Everybody's happy for Michelle Yeoh. And the supporting actor and actress speeches were great as well. So I thought the show was good. It moved along at a good clip. They reintroduced the documentary and short subject awards into the telecast. Remember, that was removed. And film nerds like me and film fans were upset by that because, the Oscars really is a show for people that are really into movies. They've tried to be all things to all people, and I think they just have to understand in this day and age with this many
nerds.
Viewing options, this is for movie nerds. That's who it is. They're never going to get the ratings they used to get when there were 3 channels back in the 60s and 70s. It's not going to happen. Top Gun Maverick got an Oscar. Avatar got 1 Oscar, so they did not go home empty-handed. But overall, I liked the show, and some of the humorous stuff did not come off, like when Jimmy Kimmel went out into the audience and talked to Malala and some other people and Jessica Chastain. That just really fell flat.
That was weird.
But bringing the donkey out and saying, Brendan Gleeson, this is the donkey that ate your finger up here on stage, that was funny as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, a strong year for movies. As I said, Ashley, this felt like the first year since 2019 pre-pandemic where we really had a good solid group of Best Picture nominees.
I'm not going to lie. If it had been up to me, I would have doubled down on jokes about the slap.
Sure.
They made one or two passing references.
Yep.
And, you know, that was about it.
Yeah. They'll move on
kind
from
of
it.
As expected,
they'll move on
you
from
thought.
It next year. And our answer to who is going to present Best Actress, Jessica Chastain and Halle Berry did it. So
there you go. We've been to the movies with Matt Olien.